Hi, Paul. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you.
You're one of the speakers at the Fresh Conference here in Turnhout. Also the reason why you're here in the studio. You are a freelance festival director working on some of the world's most successful festivals. Maybe we should start talking about those festivals. In your opinion, what makes a festival a great festival and really stands out?
Well, I think one of the things about any good festival is often say that they're some of the world's great meeting places. You know, it's where people who share a passion, an interest, you know, a love of music, film, books, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's where they meet and, you know, indulge in that passion. I think, but to me, what makes a great festival, though, is where, if you like, the event, music, film, mm-hmm. or whatever, but also the place. Combine a phrase that I use too much is, well, it could only happen here, so that you know, there's a,
is that so? Can't a festival be moved to another place?
I think personally the best festivals are the ones that have a great sense of place, that in a way you could not imagine that event working in another town, because it, you know, it really embeds itself in the place.
Okay.
They're the ones that I really really enjoy, because that's what makes them unique. Because, you know, say a jazz festival, you could see that maybe the same jazz artists in 9 or 10 different towns, but actually, you know, if, for example, you know, you go to the Molde Jazz Festival in Norway, you know, mm-hmm. it feels perfect because it's in Molde. You know, something about the place and the jazz and the people, you know, mm-hmm. make that event really work. So, as I say, to me, it's that combination. And I suppose that's part of, you know, where why I'm at this conference around meetings, because I think, you know, some of these things translate, hopefully, you know, across our industries.
You already mentioned the people, and the thing with successful festivals is most of the time also a very loyal audience coming back every year.
They are, and you know, it's incredible, especially certain types of events, especially music events. You know, you mm-hmm. get things like jazz, like blues, you know, country music, and classical music, where it's not uncommon to meet people who've been to the past 20, 30 editions. Mm-hmm. Once they've found an event they love, they keep going back. Now, you know, that's not unusual in festivals, but of course for tourists that's highly unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us tend to go a different place each year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have this incredible loyalty, and then these people, they become amazing ambassadors, not just for the festival, but actually for the place as well. So, I mean, again, I think that's one thing that I always notice about really good festivals, is that you have this core at the heart of the audience, people who are kind of, you know, super passionate mm-hmm. about not just the jazz or books, but actually about that particular festival.
You mentioned niches like a jazz festival and a specific festival for a specific audience. There are also in the world a lot of very generalistic festivals. In your opinion, can that work, a generalistic approach?
I think it's getting harder because it's such a crowded marketplace. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe if you do something like a food festival, of which there are many, if you can't find a way to make yours a little bit different, I think it's going to be a struggle. I think what we're seeing in such a crowded marketplace is real niche events. So mm-hmm. Rather than maybe a film festival, you start maybe an Asian film festival. Or I've come across two surf film festivals dedicated to surfing movies. That niche.
Are there surfing movies?
Well, I can't name one, but but there are these events.
There is a crowd for it.
I think there is, because, as I say, there's two or three of these festivals. But I think, you know, that's definitely one of the shifts that I'm seeing, is that in some ways, sometimes as a new event, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be doing something different. You have to be a little bit more original. So, and occasionally that means that you have a rather more narrow focus. Now, that doesn't mean that's where you stay. Maybe you will develop into maybe a more general festival. But you know, actually owning one piece of ground sometimes seems to be important. And that's definitely a trend in the past 10, 15 years, I think.
But that's then also about finding your identity as a festival.
It's absolutely about finding your identity. It's about being able to have something different to say from other events, and to create, you know, that little square of the marketplace for yourselves. So I think, you know, that as festivals are exploding worldwide, you know, I think we're going to see more and more of these kind of, you know, remarkable niche events.
It sounds logic, but at the same time, if you're organizing an event, and especially if you do that for the first time, you want to reach as many people as you as possible because you want to sell those tickets.
Yeah.
But it sounds contradictory in some way by limiting yourself to only the people who like surfing movies, for example.
It is. And, you know, I suppose I'm not saying, and it's not as if there are not, you know, hundreds of new food festivals and film mm-hmm. festivals every year, you know, covering the more general ground. And you know, some of them are successful. But as I say, you know, it's just, it is more difficult, I think, to create that unique identity for your organization. If you're just, mm-hmm. you know, a friend of mine wants to start something that he's going to call mm-hmm. yet another jazz festival, mm-hmm. You know, just as the name of his event, because for that reason that he thinks there are so many new festivals. That he just, yeah, you know. Yeah. So I think the real skill is people you meet who can take perhaps a, you know, just a very unique idea, but actually make it accessible to a large audience. I think they're the real, you know, they're like the, you know, the your Michelin chefs, mm-hmm. I think, of the festival world. You know, people who can create something that is unique, but actually make many, many people interested and passionate about it.
Yeah. We've been talking now about what it takes to be successful at an event. But what makes festival fail?
Sometimes it can be as simple as that you just cannot find the money to support what you need to do. Sometimes it's that simple. I think one interesting thing is I've seen events fail sometimes through overambition. One of the challenges with the festival is you're normally only running for maybe one or two weeks a year, mm-hmm. And it often takes up it takes a lot of time to build up the infrastructure and organization. To be able to do that and to grow. And so occasionally if an event tries to grow too rapidly in a way, you know, its infrastructure and organization is not caught up. Mm-hmm. I think the other reason a lot of events fail is they lose their sort of focus on and feel for their core audience. A very typical one, for example, is maybe an event that is really desperately trying to draw tourists into a city, mm-hmm. but its primary focus tends to be the tourists, mm-hmm. Whereas its core audience is almost certainly its local audience. So they're looking over there for the tourists, and they're ignoring the fact that their hardcore audience is the local audience. So yeah. Again, sometimes that is the challenge. The other reason for failure, sometimes, which you shouldn't blame people. I mean, you know, events do need to, at various points, reinvent themselves. Mm. They do need to develop and change. And that means taking a risk. If you want to change an event, you know, hopefully those risks work, but occasionally they don't. It fails. Yeah. You know, but you still have to, as I say, it's still personally, you know, it's better to take the risk and fail than not to take the risk at all. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if you're not changing your event over a long period, you're you know, you're just waiting for failure to happen over a longer period, I think.
Yeah. What does a festival director like you do at the Fresh Conference? A conference for meeting planners, not festivals?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's fascinating because, as I say, you know, a lot of the principles that I see working in festivals around the world, big cities, mm-hmm. Small towns, you know, big events, small events. What's fascinating for me now is to see how these principles cross into different industries. So when I had the invitation for this event, it was very natural. As I say, I mean, I talk about festivals being some of the world's great meeting places. A word which, you know, I'll use in my presentation at this, it also is, you know, one of the joys mm-hmm. of creating festivals is the way you can transform places. You know, you can transform a town for a day, for a week, you know, and also you can transform lives. You know, the number of people I've met who've performed at, been to a festival, and it's changed their life in some way. That's what a privilege. And I can't help but feel that there are elements of this in the meetings industry mm-hmm. as well. I think, you know, most of us have perhaps attended a meeting, an event, a conference, which has turned on a light bulb. You know, so I think some of these things which I'm interested in mm-hmm. exploring, you know, what are the principles from my world that would work in the meetings industry as well. And I have the joy of being able to present with a panel of experts. Mm-hmm. So I will talk about some of the aspects that I see working in festivals, and then hopefully they're going to help translate that into the language of meetings and meeting design.
In meeting design, we talk about festivalization,
yeah.
Making a conference more like a festival. That's a good idea, in your opinion?
I think so. Yeah, because again, you know, some of the things festivals enjoy: great audience loyalty. People are massive prepared to talk about events. Mm-hmm. You know, they become the highlights of their annual calendar. You know, a lot of these things are, I think, the same within events and meetings. So, I think festivalization is a good way of talking about it. And also, the meetings industry. Is a much more mature industry, mm-hmm. than it was 10, 15 years ago.
It is.
You know, and I think there's more professionalism, there are more university courses, more training, these kind of things. And I think, this notion of, you know, how do we evolve events, mm-hmm. how do we evolve meetings, you know, how do we get away from some of the formats that have mm-hmm. kept us going for the past few years. I think festivalization is quite a good way of thinking of that evolution. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Yeah, it is. And maybe next year we will have kind of pop stars as speakers.
Yep.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for coming over to our studio and share your expertise with us.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.